Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
Turn in the Bible, if you've got it, to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Believe it or not, we're going to talk about this same scripture that we've been talking about for 10 weeks now. Some of you are going to have it memorized by the time we move on. But Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he was asking them a very important question. Who do people say that I am? If people were to tell you who I am, what do they say? Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah. Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And that was a big deal. Jesus said, that's awesome. Other people didn't tell you that, but our Father in heaven told you that. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he says this statement that we have up on the screen. And I will give you the keys. Somebody say keys.
Keys.
Keys. I'll give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. Meaning I'm going to give you access into this realm that's different than the realm that you're in right now. Give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. We've been in this passage, this particular, just this one verse for 6 weeks now, and if you've missed any of those messages, I really encourage you to go back and watch them on YouTube. Hello, everybody watching on YouTube right now, live. Go back, because there's some really good content about what is the kingdom in general. What is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? The kingdom is where Jesus reigns, and that's not a location or geography, specific geography. It's the heart of the believer. It's in the space of a person who puts their faith in Jesus. That's the kingdom. That's the domain of the king. And so I want to just throw that out to you. If you've missed this, any part of this series, get that. Grab a hold of that, that you can have the kingdom of God in you now. You don't have to wait until you die. That's a beautiful thing. But the last few weeks we've been talking about specific keys that Jesus teaches us, the keys to the kingdom, to access different parts of this beautiful realm of God. And today I want to talk to you about one that's exciting, and it's a paradox. It's one that's you would never believe Jesus would say. This is two chapters after what we just read. This is Matthew 18. Verses 2 through 4, Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he says, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sin, that's a big part of it, turn from your sin and become like little children. Become like little children. Why don't you say that with me? Become like little children. Say it one more time. Become like little children. Turn to your neighbor. Are you like a little child? You don't look like it. You know, we spend most of our life trying to grow up, right? We spend most of our life trying to advance in maturity, possess things, acquire information. We, especially in our earlier years, adolescent, young adult years, we're trying to get as far away from childhood as possible. We want our independence. We want our freedom. We want to be able to do what we want to do and all that stuff. And when you look at the kingdoms of this world, it's a very different paradigm than what Jesus is teaching about his kingdom. Think about business, the kingdom of business. Think about the kingdom of technology. I was talking to my son yesterday, and I was throwing out all these little kingdoms like the arts and entertainment and sports and business. And it's like, who's the king of sports? Who's the king of business? Who's the king of technology? You know, is it Elon or is it Bill Gates? Or, you know, who is it that's leading? Who's the best rapper? Who's the best artist, you know, who's the best comedian? Who's the king of all these spheres of the world. And almost every single one of these earthly kingdoms, which I'm not saying that any of these kingdoms are wrong or bad, even advancing in these kingdoms is wrong or bad, but just this is the way it is. You advance in these spheres or these kingdoms by learning more, being more experienced, working harder, learning lessons, maturing, making connections with other people, right? Like the way you build yourself up in business or in the corporate world or in school or wherever is to learn more, be more experienced, work hard, maturity, and individualism is honored, possessions, power is honored. And Jesus is teaching us that his kingdom is not that way. How do I become great in the kingdom of God? How do I get to the top? This is the same type of question that was answered last week when we talked on Mother's Day about a mom that went to Jesus and said, "How can my kids become at the top of the kingdom? How can my kids sit right next to you at the highest part of your kingdom?" Jesus answered that question we talked about last week. But this week is very similar. Here's how you get to the top. He says, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." You will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Y'all hear that? Unless you become like little children, you will never get. This is not me saying this. This is red words in the Bible. This is Jesus saying, unless you become like little kids, you'll never even get in the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, "So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the," what? "Greatest." The greatest in the kingdom is the one that's like a child. That's humble like a child, which is so different from what we're used to. Now, many of us are living in kingdoms of this world, and you have to. I mean, you need a job, and you need to interact with the world, and you got to be involved with different spheres of life, and you need to work, and you need to push, and you need to learn, and all that stuff is there. Like I said earlier, there's nothing wrong with that. You have to be involved with that. But at the same time, when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, that's not the way we advance. That's not the way we get further. In fact, it's not even the way you get in at all. Just to get in, you've got to be like a child. But to humble yourself like a child is to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We have to feel like Jesus was like a child. Jesus was childlike in his humility. So he's basically teaching us three things. I want to put these bullet points up on the screen, and I want you to just kind of chew on them a little bit as I put them up there. First of all, you enter the kingdom of heaven by being a child. That means, number one, believing in something you can't prove. Kids are great at that, right? Believing in something you can't prove, that's very, very childlike. Number two, curiously exploring God and the world. Keyword curious. Curiosity. Kids are so curious. And then number three, depending on Jesus. These are the three childlike qualities that I want you to just think about for a second. And if one were just to pop out to you and say, "Well, I'm pretty good at being like that, but that other one I struggle with," I want you to just look at that. I want you to look at these on the screen, and hopefully they're online for you to watch and see. Believing in something you can't prove, curiously exploring God in the world, and depending on Jesus. These are the childlike characteristics that Jesus is saying. This is how you enter into the kingdom of God. This is how you become the greatest in the kingdom. Now, if I was to tell you that that's how you advance in the business world, you know, you'd be like, "What? Different." We're not talking about that. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. Here's what most of us experience instead of these three things. We experience being calloused, doubting, and dependent. These are the three that most of us wrestle with the most. Doubting means don't believe in something. Don't have faith about something. Doubt it. Instead of fully relying on Jesus, you're independent. You're building your own kingdom. You're the king of your own kingdom instead of being a part of God's kingdom. But this calloused part is the opposite of curious. Instead of being curious about the world and insensitive about the world and all that, very calloused because life has been hard on you. Life has been difficult to you. And situations over time, you've had to protect yourself so you don't get hurt again. And you've lost a lot of the curiosity of life and the sensitivity of life. There was a time I heard a message from T.D. Jakes, I don't know, like 15 years ago. He taught on the Ten Commandments of Leadership, just an incredible message. And one of the things he said is that, you know, sensitivity of a pastor and a church leader is the most important part of being a leader, because that's what makes us connect with other people, is being sensitive to other people and curious about what's happening in their life and, you know, fresh, interested, curious, welcoming, unguarded, being present with people. And, you know, what happens for all of us in humanity is we get hurt. People deny us. People betray us. People stab us in the back. And as humans, we say, I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm not going to get in that position again. You may not even say it consciously. It may be a subconscious thing. But we say that, and what happens over time is we get layers and layers and layers of wounds and callous presence in our life. And Jesus says, I want you to become like a sensitive child again. I want you to have a transparency and a sensitivity just like a little kid. So I want us to dive into each one of these three, not the negative parts, but the positive, what Jesus is saying, because I really believe that each of us can learn something about this. So the first one is this: believing in something that you cannot prove. Believing in something that you cannot prove. The essence of this is faith. Faith is believing in something that you cannot prove. Now, I love reading things from scientists and people that have dug into the research, and they're starting to collect data on creation and starting to really build the case for creation from a scientific perspective, and philosophers and people using logic and reasoning and all that kind of stuff to really prove God. But there's always, 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 even at the end of all the research and all the science and all of that, there's always going to be a mystery about the world that we live in. There's going to be things that we don't know, things that we cannot figure out about the world that we live in. The world as a whole, the whole planet, but our world, our family, our job, our health, our relationships, our education, our finances. There's going to be pieces of our world, our personal world, that are a mystery to us. And I'm praying that this mystery is our opportunity to be tied to God. Believing something that is mysterious, but at the same time trusting in God's sovereignty, that He knows all things, is in all places, has all power, and is able to do all things. It is in total control of past, present, and future. That is very childlike, to believe in something that you can't quite get your hands on, right? I mean, children jump at believing things. I love watching kids watch a magic show, right? And just the awe and the wonder of seeing things happen that just blows their mind, and other things that they believe. This is the natural proclivity of a child to believe. Hebrews 11:1 is the hallmark passage of faith. It says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. The King James Version says that it's the substance. It's the substance. The substance is the tangible presence of something. It's the substance of what we hope for. That's what faith is. Faith stands in the gap between your reality and what God's promise is. It's in that mysterious place. Faith is in that mysterious place of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see, that we cannot prove. And read, if you're struggling in this particular area to be like a child in believing something you can't prove. I want you to study this whole chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. So this is chapter 11, verse 1. But then verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, right? And what we see did not come from anything that can be seen. So this is talking about the entire creation of the world, we believe, is by faith. When from God's spoken word, that He created everything by His spoken word, we believe that in faith. But we also believe in the day-to-day experiences. The verses that we're not going to cover right now, after verse 3, begins to go through the hall of fame of the Bible, of all these people that had faith in very practical, everyday situations. So I want to encourage you to read that. It will build your faith. To be like a kid. It is what Jesus is saying. I want you to be like a kid again. Oh, man, it's so hard to do because I've spent my whole life trying not to be like a kid, right? And there's so much honor in that, and maturing and being responsible for yourself and getting a job and making money and all that stuff, which is good stuff. But we live in that tension between being mature, but also holding on to these innocent qualities of being like a kid. Believing in something you can't prove. Number two, curiously exploring God in the world. I love this word curious, which means exciting interest or speculation. There's this buzz about kids. They just want to learn, just want to be a sponge, absorbing so much content, so much information. That's why it's important. A little side note for parents, what you allow kids to learn from. Okay, back to being a kid. We want to absorb and learn and have that same sensitivity, that same exploration. You know, kids at a certain age are asking why about everything. Why? 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 Go to bed. Why? Ate your beans. Why? And then, why did this happen? Where are the dinosaurs? Like, all these questions. Why? Why? I want to know. Just that curiosity to learn. And, you know, when my kids were younger, go to the playground. We have three kids. Our daughter's in a wheelchair, disabled, can't walk. So she's in a wheelchair at a playground. My other two boys at this point are like 6 and 8. They're running around, swinging, playing, hanging off trees and all that kind of stuff. Erica and I are sitting with Kennedy, hanging out with her. And it's inevitable that little kids would just come up and stop playing and stare at Kennedy. And their eyes are just like this. And their poor parents are over on the other side. They're just like, oh my God, hey, come over here, come back, come back. They're all nervous and afraid. And the kids are just like, why is she in a chair? Why isn't she playing? Why isn't she walking? Why? They're just asking, they're just curious. They have no... There's no fear in them to ask why and to figure this out. And so we every time would say, well, she was born this way. Her brain's different than your brain. So she can't walk. And she can't do some of the things you do, but it's just because she was born this way and her brain's that way. And every single time, the kids would just say, oh, and run off and start playing again. It's just they want to know, like, what happened? Why isn't she playing? Oh, okay. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. This is what we need to be like. Have a hunger for knowledge. Have a hunger for what He's like. A curiosity for God. A curiosity for the world. Explore things in the world. Travel, digging into different, you know, find interesting things that you like about the world. Dig into it, whether that's the ocean or mountains or activities that you participate in the world. And diving into those things and just living life to its fullest, like a kid, exploring like a kid. I want to encourage you to explore God in that way. Some of you are brought up in very strict and rigid religious systems, where they always put God in a particular box. This is what it looks like to pray. This is what it looks like to go to church. This is what it looks like to live your life. This is how you're supposed to look, how you're supposed to act. And I'm not picking out one particular denomination. I'm talking about all of them. All of them have parameters and squares and boxes that they put God in. I want to encourage you to just have a hunger for God and for you to have an attitude of, God, show me who you are. I'm open to learning from you. And there's things in the Bible, in the New Testament, talking about the signs of God, the wonders of God that you can explain, that you don't know why this could happen. And, you know, I was raised in a church that was very open to spiritual things, very open to different applications of God and worship and the gifts of the Spirit, meaning praying for the sick, healing, signs and wonders, words of prophecy, speaking in other tongues. I mean, like a lot of different things. And I still remember, even in that context, you're like, okay, well, this is how this is going to work, and this is how this is going to work. And even though we're open to these things, it's still going to fit within this paradigm. And I remember once I started going to college and going to other churches and meeting other pastors and other people in the church community, and then moving out of state and going to another church over there, I just began to see, wow, God actually moves differently than I thought He moved. And He moves in ways that I was told He didn't move in. Ooh. So I want to encourage you to take some risks and open your mind to what God can do for you in your life. Be curious about God. Lord, show me your way. I want to see new things happening in my life. Some of y'all have been praying for miracles to happen in your life. Some of y'all have been praying for specific things in your life. And probably the problem you have is you thought it was always going to look a certain way. And God wants to display Himself in other ways. And you just need to be open to experiencing that. So get curious about God. Whether that's, you know, the way He moves and emotionally, expressing yourself in worship. There's something about when I wish we've shifted a little bit because of the size of crowds that we've had recently, and we've had our kids over in the other building for the entire service since Easter, and we don't have the tradition happening in this particular moment of them being with us in worship, then bringing them down to the front, praying for them, and then sending them to their classes. We've done that since the beginning of our existence, and every time our church grows to a certain size, we have to put that on pause while we either add a service or build a building or whatever. It's kind of where we are right now. But I love that time of the service because all the parents are a little nervous. What are my kids going to do when they get down to the front? They're going to pick their nose. They're going to dig in their pants. What are they going to do when they get to the front, right? And all the rest of us just love it. We love to watch the kids. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? And we have these sub speakers down here, down in the stage. It's a wonder that they work because kids have been kicking those speakers every Sunday for the last 10 years. But that's just the way they are. They're just curious. They run down here. Then when it's time to go to class, they run down the aisle. They're just different, right? They don't have that protective layer because they're not even, it's so natural for kids just to be free, right? That's what Jesus is saying to us. I want you to be like that. I want you to be like that. I want you to have that freedom. Here's the final one. This is probably the most important. And it is depending on Jesus. It's depending on Jesus. If you really want to know why kids have so few cares in the world, why do kids live such carefree life? I don't believe it's because they're not educated as much as we are. I believe it is because they trust so deeply in their parents' provision and protection of them. Kids don't even think twice about, am I going to eat? Am I going to be protected? Am I going to have clothes? Are we going to make the mortgage this month? You know, kids don't think about any of that stuff because they're so deeply trusting in their parents, and it is a completely subconscious thing. They don't even think, well, God, thank you for my parents that they provide for me. No. Right? It's just, they just live depending on us. They just live in that space of depending on us. And that's really what I want you to grab a hold of, is that we depend on the King like our parent, like our kids depend on us parents. That we could have that same existence of being like a child, having childlike faith in our Heavenly Father protecting us and providing for us. And let our pride get out of the way. I mentioned earlier that, you know, independence is something that's so valued and honored in our society because we earn our living, we make it by the sweat of our brow, we dig and claw and fight, and we make it to certain levels in life, and then we say, look what I did, you know, I can't believe I did that, I never thought I'd get to this level. So we start letting pride get a part of our existence, and kids don't do that. Kids don't have that layer of pride because they're not building up any value in themselves by what they're doing. They don't even have that as a part of their consciousness. So kids don't let pride get in the way of receiving love from their parents. Kids don't let pride get in the way of receiving guidance from their parents or provision from their parents. But we do as adults. We let our pride get in the way of receiving those things from God because we have built this wall up about this is what I've done, look what I've done. Then when we're failing, we put the blame on ourselves, and it's so disconnected from the King. And Jesus is saying, if you want to be a part of the kingdom, you need to be more like this kid that just completely trusts in their Father. And you can completely trust in your Heavenly Father, and you can have this transparency about the lack of your life and not having it all together. That's okay, because that's the way kids are. You know, they're exposed and they let their needs known, and they're very emotional and they are very expressive to their parents, and they just need their parent, and that's okay. There's no pride in keeping them from crying out to their parents. And so I just want to encourage you that it's okay to be like that, to be more like a kid. To believe in stuff you can't prove, to be curiously exploring God and the world, and then depending on Jesus. Kids have that capacity to do all that fun and carefree things and exploring the world and all that because the weight on their shoulders is not holding all these things that we have put on our shoulders. And so the tension that we as adults live in is that we do have to go out and work and be involved in these other spheres of the natural world. But what Jesus is saying is at the same time, you can be like a child and you can trust in your Heavenly Father. He's got you back. He's going to take care of you. You don't have to be afraid. You're going to make it. And it can be so much so that it's just natural. Man, that's the way I want to get to that place where I don't even think about it. I'm not even tempted to believe and trust in Robin. I'm just naturally depending on God for everything. Why don't you stand with me right now? Let's go into a conversation with God about this. He's been speaking to you, I know. Why don't we pray for each one of these items, and maybe you need help with all three of them. There's probably times when you do. Maybe there's one that really popped out. I don't want us to pray right now and submit it to God. And if there's anything keeping you from these characteristics, let's hand it over to God right now. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we come to you and we say, you're the King. I confess right now, Jesus, that you're my King, that you're the Savior of the world. If you're ready to make that statement, would you just make that statement with me? Just say, Jesus, you're the Savior of my world. You're the Savior of my life, Jesus. You're my Messiah, Jesus. I surrender my life to you right now. Please forgive me of getting in the way. Please forgive me for trying to build my own kingdom. God, I surrender my life to you right now, and I want to be more childlike. Can we just be honest right now and just say, God, I want to be more like a child. Lord, I want to enter into the kingdom like a child. And that's my faith, Lord. Be with my faith. If there's anything in my life right now, and some of y'all know things right now that are blocking your faith, would you just hand those over to Jesus right now? God, I hand you over these issues that are causing me to doubt and distrust you and not put my faith and my belief in something that I cannot prove. God, in the mystery of my life, in the mysterious areas of my life, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to put my vision and my sights upon you, God. I want my faith to be sure, my faith to be solid in you, Jesus. That's what I'm declaring. Lord, I pray for curiosity and sensitivity. Lord, in a carefree spirit, God, that's just like a child, Lord. I need that in my life. I want to explore. I want to dive into things. I want to be hungry for knowledge. God, I want an excitement of interest and speculation, just like a kid's chasing after a butterfly, Lord. I want to be chasing after the things of God. That's what I want, Lord, in my life. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that I see you as my heavenly Father that's never going to waver, that's got everything under control. God, putting my dependence solely upon you and not myself. If you struggle in this area of putting your dependence on God, come on, lay it down before God right now. Lord, I put this before you. I lay this before you that I'm struggling in this particular area. I want to be more childlike and just simply trusting in you, God. Depending. Carry the weight of my life, the burden of my life, the heaviness, Lord, that you would carry it for me. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.